Welcome back to another session of the Warren County Radio Bible School, and that's what that bell is for. It is a school bell to remind you to get your Bibles. And we're going to be studying a Sunday school lesson today that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of August the 19th, 1923. It is part of a series of lessons that he wrote about the great men and women of the Bible. And today we are going to be looking at Stephen the martyr. He is certainly one of the great men of the New Testament. Almost everything we know about Stephen is found in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And so be turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 6, and we'll begin studying about Stephen from that text in that chapter in just a few moments. While you're doing so, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as we brought the class to a close at the last class session, we were reading from Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7. And since we're going to be commenting on those words, I want to read that to you again, and we'll begin there. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And here's what the Bible says. Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministrations. And the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not fit that we should forsake the word of God and serve tables. Look ye out therefore, brethren, from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands upon them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem exceedingly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Here are some of the notes that Elam made about that passage. He says that we do not know the time of this lesson, that is, we do not know how long after the beginning of the church on Pentecost in which these things took place. We could approximate it and estimate it, but we cannot know for sure. As after the first persecution, so after the second, Luke turns to the internal conditions of the church. About this time, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, the daily ministration was the distribution to all men, as every man had need. The Grecian Jews were Jews born and reared out of Palestine, and who spoke the Greek language. The Hebrews were Jews of Palestine. This neglect should not be looked upon as intentional on the part of the apostles. It doubtlessly arose from the difficulty of looking after so many in the continued increase of the church. It was not proper that the apostles should neglect preaching and praying to look after this manner, or to, as the text says, serve tables. The Holy Spirit guided them in the suggestion that the multitude of the disciples, or that the church, should look out among them and choose 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom they might appoint over this business. The wisdom of this suggestion was readily seen by all, and it averted further disturbance and preserved the unity and peace among the disciples previously described. The church looked out these men, and the apostles then appointed them. These names of these men are Grecian, which shows that the Grecians were wisely appointed to look after the wants of their own widows. Nicholas was not of Jewish birth, but a proselyte of Antioch. A proselyte was a Gentile who had accepted the religion of the Jews and had been circumcised. The apostles continued steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. The way in which the apostles connected preaching and praying steadfastly should impress seriously not only all preachers, but also everyone. It is stated that when these seven had been looked out and were set before the apostles, and when they, the apostles, had prayed, they laid hands upon them. The peace, love, and abundant generosity of the church almost always ensures a great increase. With the seven to look after these widows, the apostles had more time for praying and preaching. Besides, some, at least, of the seven soon became preachers. Nothing shows more clearly the power of the gospel as the statement, "And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Obedient to the faith is very expressive. It means obedience to the faith in Jesus leads. It means the obedience to which faith in Jesus leads. This expression stands for the gospel system and is found elsewhere in the scriptures. Very often, the book of Romans is turned to for people that would believe and try to teach that we are saved by grace through faith, meaning that it is by faith only, and by grace only. And they'll go all the way through the book of Revelation and leave out what the book of Revelation really teaches about obedience. But did you know that the book of, the book of Romans begins teaching us about obedience? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, we read that we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. And in the last chapter, at the very close of the book of Romans, we read in Romans 16:26 how that the gospel is, and here's the quote, "made known to all nations for obedience of a faith." Well, that's what these priests had done. They were obedient to the faith. It is stated here that many priests became obedient to the faith in order to show the great effect of the Word of God. Now let me read this text, and then we'll go into these verses in more detail. But it says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6 that Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people. But there arose of them which were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They suborned men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came before him and seized him and brought him into the council and set up false witnesses who said, "This man ceases not to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all that sat in council, fasting their eyes on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, "Stephen, full of grace and power, wrought great wonders and signs among the people." Stephen did these great wonders and signs through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the first preacher since the ascension of Jesus, except for the apostles, whose work is mentioned. And he is the first one since then, except the apostles, who is reported to have worked miracles. Although we did read earlier that when Jesus sent out the 70, that they were able to do miracles in Luke chapter 10, verses 9 through 17. But this is the first one that we read of since his death, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus into heaven. The use of present opportunities doubtless prepared them for greater usefulness. Besides, God requires all the proper use of their time and ability. Philip also was one of those 7 that were chosen to look after this, and he became an evangelist. And there's no mention of the other 5, but that fact does not show that they were not busy serving God as time and opportunity afforded. But few of the apostles are mentioned afterwards by name. We read in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 9. But there arose certain of them that were of the synagogue, called the synagogue of the Libertines, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Let me get back to my place here. Here's Elam's notes. It is said that there were between 460 and 480 synagogues in Jerusalem. These were places where the Jews met for worship on Saturdays and on the Sabbath. The Libertines were free men. Thousands of the Jews had been sold into slavery by their conquerors and had been set at liberty again. Hence they were Libertines, are freedmen. These had a synagogue in Jerusalem. The Cyrenians were the people of Cyrene, a city in the northern part of Africa. Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross for Jesus in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32. Some of those from Cyrene had become Christians, according to Acts 2 and verse 10 and Acts 11 and verse 20. And upon this persecution which arose against Stephen, they went as far as Antioch and preached Jesus unto the Grecians. Lucius the Cyrenian was one of the prophets at Antioch who separated Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto God had called them in Acts 13, 1-3. Alexandrians? Well, they were Jews from the famous city of Alexandria in Egypt, which was founded by Alexander the Great and named for him. He offered great inducement to the Jews to settle there. Cilicia, that was the province of which Tarsus was the capital. In this city, Saul, afterward called Paul, was brought up. He was doubtless present and took a leading part in the contentions against Stephen, and we'll read more about him later when it comes to this matter with Stephen. Asia was then a Roman province, of which Ephesus was the capital. Asia then did not represent the continent which we call Asia, or what we call Asia Minor. The Jews at Jerusalem from the different countries had probably their separate synagogues. If not, they all met in the synagogue of the freemen. These were all Grecian Jews, and Stephen also, a Grecian Jew, probably sought to teach them the gospel of Jesus. They were disputing with Stephen, that is, discussing the questions in open debate which he had raised concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God. Up to this time, the Sadducees had headed the persecutions against the church, but now the Pharisees come promptly to the front again in this matter. And we're going to read about Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee. And in our next class session, we'll read how they brought false witnesses and false charges against Stephen. And they're going to do this much in the way that they did about Christ. And people say all manner of evil against preachers of the gospel truth, even to this day, don't they?